Good morning. Today's daf Yom Nun Gimel. We are Nun Beis Amud Beis. We are starting towards the bottom of the Amud at the two dots. Savra es haketaros al gabe gechalim. We are going back to the Mishnah. The Mishnah now is giving a description of the Kohen Gadol in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, and he is making the pillar of smoke and the cloud of smoke, so that he won't die. Torah's instructions are extraordinarily clear, with the ramifications also being very clear that if you don't create the anan, if you don't create the cloud of smoke in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, so the Kohen Gadol is going to in fact die. Concern of his death is already brought down back in the Mishnah. Mishnah says that look, he's in the Kodesh HaKadoshim and he's going to be backing up into the Heichal, and he has an opportunity to daven, an unbelievable opportunity to daven. The Mishnah says, okay, that's great, but keep it really short, because if you spend too much time in the Kodesh HaKadoshim and in the Heichal and no one else is there, so we're going to think that you died, right? Just yesterday, somebody said, well, the rope that's tied around him. So I pointed out yesterday, right? I did a little more research on it. No, it's not mentioned in the Bavli at all that there's a rope tied to the Kohen Gadol as he's walking to the Kodesh HaKadoshim, so that if in the event that he dies, he can pull him out with the rope. It is a graphic visual, and it's really visceral, and it doesn't exist in the Bavli. There might be other sources that speak to this idea. Everybody seems to know it, so you know it's popular. But there's no reference to that in the Bavli. However, what is real and what is mentioned not only in the Bavli, it's a Mishnah. We saw this in the Mishnah, is that this fear, this concern that the Kohen Gadol is in fact going to die while he's in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. The stakes are really high. All right, that's the idea that we saw yesterday. We're gonna review today as well. Anyway, we're going to be very detail oriented. I mean, that's generally how we are in the Gemara. We're very detail oriented right now. We're talking exactly about how the Kohen Gadol is going to be laying the Ketoros on top of the Gachalim. So obviously it's to create a cloud of smoke, that part's clear, but over here are the details. So we're starting on Nun Beis Amud Beis, about five lines from the bottom. So Tanan, Kamanda Amr Sovra. So the Gemara says, Armisha follows the position that Sovra, you put the pile on the Gachales right away. Now if you recall, just a couple days ago, we gave two different viewpoints in terms of whether or not he should just sprinkle it out on top, and that'll create a lot of smoke real quickly, right? We want a lot of smoke volume. Or the alternative, which is what our Mishnah seems to be advocating, and that's the Gemara's comment, is that you just simply put all of it on top. Obviously, it's going to burn, but it's going to be a slow burn. And our Mishnah is advocating the slow burn versus a fast burn. I mentioned the other day, I'm not really sure what the gain is, what the loss is in terms of whether it should be a fast burn, whether it should be a slow burn. The Gemara, neither here nor there, back a couple days ago, really explores what exactly you're gaining by doing either a fast or a slow burn. Do you put it on the part of the gacheles, on the side of the gacheles, that's either closer to you or further away from you? So in a moment, the Gemara is going to be very clear in terms of which position it eventually is going to take, but there are two options are, pinima shi'ichutz alo, should you do it more interior, which is further away from you? Meaning, imagine now, right, it's important over here to see the scene, right? So you have the Kohen Gadol standing in front of the, in front of the shovel of coals, which is on the floor, while he's in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, and he's facing the Aron, or in the Beis HaMikdash, where the Aron once was. So that means that he's facing westbound. He's now going to be putting the Ketoros says in his two-cupped hands. Remember, he's transferred now the Ketoros from the kaf into his back into his two-cup hands, and he's going to put it down now on the coals. So, which part of the coals? He could have just simply said you put it on the center of the coals, but the Gemara over here says actually it's a debate in terms of where should you put it on. So, one position, which is Panima, is put it on the interior shehichutz alo. It's further away from him, meaning he's going to put it on the west side of the coals. So if it's on Yidach, we have another brace that's over chutza shehi penima lo. Or the other one is no, that you should do it on the part of the gachalos that's closer to you. Amar Abai Tanahi, so Abai says, okay, it's a machlokas tanaim. V'amar Abai Mestaber, kamandamar penima shehi chutza lo. And Abai says, look, if I had a vote, and he has a vote, in other words, he's Abai, so he says, I'm going to go with the position that it's penima shehi chutza lo, that you should do it on the part that is closer to you. Did not, right? Oh, the one that's further from you. You should start. Yeah, thank you. You should start on the point that's further to you and come back to you. So thank you. Did not, because we learned in the Mishnah, Malam Dem Oso. Here's what we teach him. Meaning while in Kohen Gadol school, now, not exactly Kohen Gadol school, but you know, during the 7 days of Hafrasha, like we discussed in the first parak. So Malam Dem Oso. So here's what we teach him. He's a hair. As we turn to the top of the Amud Aleph. Shelo Taschil Mipanecha Shem Tichva. Okay, this is just common sense. Good practical advice. And that is that if you start laying the Ketores on the portion that's closer to you, on the coals that are closer to you, and you're now continuing to put your hands over, so now it's going to start smoking up, and right, not just smoke, right? But in other words, it's a tremendous amount of heat and smoke, and you're going to burn your hands. So the best thing to do is to put it far away and bring it back to you. So as the smoke now is rising, your hands are moving away from the smoke. Okay, just practical position. But it's funny. Abaye says, look, practically speaking, you don't want the Kohen Gadol to burn himself. And meanwhile, we saw a braisa that says that, no, the Kohen Gadol should start interior going away from him. Okay, and the Kohen Gadol is going to burn himself? I guess not. Okay, anyway, Abaye just deals with it from a pragmatic standpoint. Tanur Rabbanan, we're on Nun Gimel Amud Aleph, we're at the top of the Amud. V'nasan is the Ketores Aleish Lifnei Hashem. So where do you create the cloud of smoke? So while you're in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. And Shelo Yitakeim HaBechutz V'yachnis. And here's what you should not do. You shouldn't start burning the Ketores outside and bring the burning Ketores inside. Don't do that. You know who does that? Sedukim do that. So Lahotzi Milibam Shot Sedukim Shomim Yitakeim HaBechutz V'yachnis. And the Sedukim are of the position that, no, you should set up the you should set up the smoke. You should have it smoking first and then bring it in while it's smoking. So my drosh, what's their drosha? Okay, so one of those odd moments here in the Gemara where the Gemara is going to entertain, obviously reject, meaning this is an absolute rejection, right? This is one of those points where, you know, the tzedukim are deniers of the Mesorah of the Torah Shabbat Pan. And so when the Gemara uses the word drasha over here to explain what the tzedukim are thinking, it's not like, this is not a bona fide drasha. The Gemara over here is not saying there's any legitimacy to it whatsoever. It goes against our Torah Shabbat Peh. What the Gemara just simply saying is, how do they read the Pasuk? Where do they see in the Pasuk? So the Gemara goes on to explain. So kiba anan erela kapara. So the Pasuk says that when you are be'anan with the cloud, so then erela kaparas. So then you go into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. The kaparas is the top portion of the Aron. So Malameshi Takim Bechutz V'Yachnis. So they said, oh, okay, good. That's what the Torah is teaching us, is that you prepare it outside and you bring it inside. So first you create the smoke and then you bring the smoking Ketores inside. Amrlam Chachamim V'Halokvar Nemar V'Nasanas Ketores Ala Eish Lifnei Hashem. So the Chachamim say, okay, look, we have a Mesorah, right? In other words, I know the Gemara doesn't say this, but point number one, we have a Mesorah. We're going to go with our Mesorah. And even if you want to reject the Mesorah, and if you just want to look at the Pesukim in the Torah, meaning we also have a Pasuk. The Pasuk says, V'nasan es ha-ketores al ha-esh lifnei Hashem. Torah's instructions are very clear, that you put the Ketores on the fire in front of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. So in kem atam alam ki banan erel ha-kaparas. So now, okay, so your Pasuk, so malam ishino simba, mala ashan. So that Pasuk is just telling us that you have to make sure that you introduce Mala Ashan as part of the Ketores. And how do I know that I have to put Mala Ashan in it? Mala Ashan? So the Gemara says, because we have the following Pasuk. V'chisa anana Ketores as a kaparis. Halo nasan ba, Mala Ashan, or shechisa achas mikos manah, chayv misa. Okay, and if you don't put it in the Mala Ashan, or if you leave out any other of the ingredients of the Ketores, so then you're going to be chayv misa. Okay, so there are a couple parts of the end of the braisa that are a little bit strange, and the Gemara is going to pick up on a number of points that we just went over here. Good. So the braisa just outlined, the braisa brings down the machlokas between the tzedukim and the perushim. Right? Perushim just simply those who accept the Torah Shabbat Peh. Right? The firmers, if you will. In other words, right? The Balei Amasara. So the tzedukim were insistent on first burning the Ketores and then going into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, and the Torah Shabbat Peh tells us that we bring it all in, we burn inside. And then, but the end of the Braisa, however, okay, good, that's the Machlokas. But the end of the Braisa got a little bit strange, because what are we doing with the pasuk of Kiva Anan Era Ela Kapara? So the Gemara says, well, I'll tell you what that pasuk is coming to teach us. You have to add Mala Ashan. Now, Mala Ashan, as we're going to be discussing a little bit today, so that is the, it's a type of grass. It's a type of herb. It's got a leaf to it. It's got a root to it. You'll see why I'm saying that now. It's introduced as one of the ingredients of the Ketores, and it, what is really allows it to burn straight up. Right? If you don't add the Mala Ashan, so the pillar of smoke goes all over the place. Okay? Remember the Beis Avtinas were the ones who really mastered this. Meaning they knew, right? They knew the type of Mala Ashan that was the best, so they refused to give that secret away to other people. But anyway, you got to add Mala Ashan, and then the Brisa here gets a little bit strange because the Brisa then says, oh, and by the way, what's the source that tells me that I have to add Mala Ashan after already giving us a source? Okay, so fine, and then the Brisa points out. That if I don't add the Mala Ashan, or if I don't add any of the other ingredients proper to the Ketores, so then you chayav Misa. So the Gemara says now on a number of points here at the end of the Brisa. So there are going to be follow up questions. Number one, says the Gemara, v'tepekle dekamayel be a rikanis. So first of all, if you don't have all the ingredients of the Ketores and you go into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, so that is what's called be a rikanis, literally an empty entrance. In other words, you're not going in. You're only allowed to go into the Kodesh HaKadoshim with the proper Ketores. And so the Gemara says, so fine. So you're going in now and you don't have all the ingredients. So that in of itself, you're going to be Chayv Misa. Should be Chayv Misa for, meaning you are Chayv Misa for missing ingredients to the Ketores. But just going into the Kodesh Kedoshim, unprepared, without all the proper equipment, so then you're going to be Chayv Misa for that as well. So I'm Rav Sheshon Sachar Ben Maiskin, Kagon Sheshagar, Bibi Avehizib Ba'akhtara. Okay, so the Gemara says, look, you're right. You're chayv misa over here, misa b'dei shemayim, obviously. This is not a capital punishment. So misa over here, so one way to solve for this problem of the double misa is that you were shogeg in one and you were amazed in the other. Okay, we know that you're chayv misa b'dei shemayim, but only when you're amazed, only when you intentionally violate the halacha. So one possibility is that you were shogig bibia, meaning you didn't know, you forgot. Let's say you forgot. You forgot that going in while being unequipped is going to be chayv misa, but you knew that you were missing ingredients to the Ketores. Okay, fine. That's one way to solve for the problem. And Rav Ashi Amar Filatei Ma'ezi Bazu Vazu. Rav Ashi gives another technical answer. You were amazed on both. In other words, you knew that both were wrong. Going in ill-equipped and missing part of the Ketores, and still there's going to be a difference, or not a difference, but there's a possibility, there's a situation in which you'll be chai for one, not the other. What's the example? Kagon, Dayo Shea, Ketores, Achas, Shlema, Vachas, Chasera. So, okay, it's a little bit of a stretched example. It's a creative example. You go in with two sets of Ketores, one full and one incomplete. And so now, Abi Allah Mechayev Daha Ayole Shlema. So over here now, on the entrance into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, so you do have one set of Ketores that's full, so Akhtar Mechayev Dekam Akhtar Ketores Chasera, but then, when burning the Ketores, the other Ketores that was incomplete, so for that you're going to be Chayev. Okay. Fine. So the first issue that we dealt with is the double Misa B'Dei Shemayim, right? How could you be Chayev Misa B'Dei Shemayim twice? Or, right, why is there an extra Chayev Misa B'Dei Shemayim? The answer is, okay, the Gemara gives two possible suggestions. Number two, Amar Mar, Minayin Shenosim Ba Mala Ashan, Tamalamar V'Chisa. And how do I know that there has to be Mala Ashan, Tamalamar V'Chisa? Kra L'Kra. The Gemara is so succinctly and so beautifully asked the question. Meaning, what are we doing? We just gave a drasha, and then we had a pasuk to back up the drasha that you need Mala Ashan. So I need a pasuk to support the pasuk. Meaning, basically, why is the Torah repeating that Mala Ashan has to be added? I think we knew that already. So the Gemara gives not one, not two, but five answers to this question of why the Torah is repeating Mala Ashan. Answer number one, I'm Rav Yosef, Achi Kamar Ein Le'ela Alei Male Ashan. Oh, I might have thought that you only have to add the leaf of the Male Ashan. Ikar Male Ashan, Minayin. How do I know they have to add the root as well? Tamalamar V'chisa. So the Pasuk says V'chisa, apparently. I mean, the Gemara doesn't spell this out, but apparently it's the root that creates the smoke, not so much the leaf. Amale Abai Vaha Ibcha Tanya. The Gemara says, so Abai says to Rava, you know, I'm sorry, Abai says to Rav Yosef, we learned just the opposite. D'tanya nasam ba'ikar mala ashan. He mitamer va'ola kamaka acha magila shmei kora. Kiven sheigila shmei kora mimashmesh v'yori bekoslim ashan ismale habayes ashan. So basically, when you add the root of the mala ashan herb into your katara, so what's going to happen is that the smoke's going to go straight up. Then what's going to happen is it's going to hit the ceiling, spread out over the ceiling, and come down the walls. Okay. And the shenismale habayis ashan shenemar vehabayis yamale ashan. So elamar habayis hachi kamar. So habayis is fine. So in other words, what habayis is basically going to do is that he's going to advance Rav Yosef's answer, but he would just like to flip it around in terms of what's the ikar and what's the tafal. And I say that with pun intended. And ein li ela ikar male ashan. Yeah, so if I only had one pasuk, so I would have said, so you know what has to go in? The root of the male ashan, the ikar. Right, that's the ikar. Thank you. So ale male ashan minayin. What about the leaf? So tamalam or vechisa. Okay, so the vechisa is coming to include the leaf as well. Okay, I might have thought not to add the leaf of the male ashan, you add the leaf of the male ashan. Okay, and that was answer number two. Answer number three, Rav Sheshes. Amar ein li ela ola moed. Shebemidbar, shilo, ubeis olam miminayin. So if I only had one pasuk, I would have said that the mala ashan is critical. Yeah, but it's critical for the mishkan in the midbar. But when you get to shilo and when you get to the base of mikdash, I don't know it was critical. So tamalam revichisa. So hi mivichen yaselo amoed ashochini tam nafka. So the Gemara says, now wait one second. The second pasuk is really to tell me about shilo and the base of mikdash. It seems like we have already a pasuk that tells us that when you get to Shiloh, when you get to the base of Mikdash, it's gonna be the same ketores with the same mala ashan. So ala hachi kamar enli ala biyama kipur b'shar yomos hashanah minayin tamalamer v'chisa. So fine. So I would enli ala biyama kipur. I would have thought no, this is a requirement for Yom Kippur, meaning that when I compound the ketores all year round, and remember we're offering ketores every day, meaning on Yom Kippur, what is unique is that we're introducing the ketores into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. But year-round, daily, twice a day, so we're burning ketores. So does it need to be the same compounding ketores with the mala ashan all year-round? That's the chiddush. That's the second pasuk that tells me, yeah. Even though I don't need the same kind of effect of the pillar of cloud going up, straight up, and remember, the year-round, you're burning it in the heichal. There is a roof to the heichal. There's a ceiling. But I don't need that effect year-round, but nevertheless, it's going to be the same compounding year-round. V'chisa. And now this brings us up to our fourth answer. Rav Ashi Amar Chala Mitzvah V'chad La'akev. Yeah, you know why the Torah says it twice? It says it twice because Likuva, it's essential. Meaning it's not just an enhanced ketores when it has Mala Ashan. It now becomes essential. It's Ma'akev. Failure to add the Mala Ashan is going to be a psul in the, right? Yeah, I mean, I'll say a psul, but it's a chisaron. You just simply don't have the ketores in its as per instructed by the Torah. And finally, answer number five: Rava Amar Chad Laonish VeChad LaAzara. One is to tell me about the Isser. The Gemara over here seems to flip it around. It should be first the Azara, then the Onish. One is to tell me about the Azara, that it's an Isser in the Torah, not to add Mala Ashan. And the second one tells me, and oh, by the way, if you don't do so, Onish, you're going to get punished. Tanya, Rebbe Lazar Amar lo yamos onish ki banan era azara. Okay, so Rebbe Lazar over here, the Brisa quotes Rebbe Eliezer, which is going to be supportive of what Rava just taught us. And that the two psukim that say that the mala ashan is needed to be added, so one's to tell us about the Isser and the other one's to tell us about the onish. So vilo yamos, that's the onish, and ki banan era azara. Good. So now, yachli yeshne mamorim konamisos bene aron. So now, where were the instructions given relative to the Bnei Aaron? So as we know, right, the Avodas Yom Kippurim is presented in the Torah in Parshas Vayikra. I'm sorry, in Sefer Vayikra. So and it's introduced right after the death of the Bnei Aaron. In other words, back up one parsha, go to Parsha Shmini, and so there, Rachmanus. Unfortunately, so we see the death of the Bnei Aaron, and then Nadav Avihu. And then, Acharei Mos, when the Torah introduces us to all the halachas of Yom Kippur, that's Acharei. That's after the death of the Bnei Aaron. Where was this narration relative to when the Torah introduced the Isser? Okay. So Tamalamar Acharim. I'm sorry. So let me start again. Yachli Yishneim Amorim Kodemisus Bnei Aaron. Now maybe they were both presented before the Bnei Aaron died. Tamalamar Acharimos Shnei Bnei Aaron. Okay. So no. In other words, it was introduced after their death. Now. Well, let me just first finish, and then I'll comment. Yachol Yushneim Amorim Acher Misa Shnei Bnei Aaron. Maybe both the Azara and the Onish were introduced after the death of Bnei Aaron. Tamalam Kibanan Eira El Alakaparis. So the Torah says that with a cloud, Eira will be seen. So Haketzad. So in other words, so it seems sounds like we have a little bit of conflicting messaging in terms of when was this Isser. Of how to properly compound the Ketores. Was it given before or after the death of Bnei Aaron? And the answer is both. Well, it can't be both. So, but the Gemara says, Azhara kodna misa, v'onish achra misa. So the Azhara, or the Torah tells us not to do it. So that was before their death. When the Torah gives us the onesh, that was after their death. In the moment the Gemara is about to ask the question, well, if the onesh is given after their death, so how come they died? Meaning, so the Torah says not to do it. Fine, they shouldn't have done it. They shouldn't have made their Eish Zara, their foreign fire in the way that they did. So the but fine. But if the Onish is not said until after they died, so then why did they die? In the moment, the Gemara is about to ask that question. Yeah, for sure. And the other part, which is also just difficult for me to totally wrap my head around, and this is what I wanted to comment a moment earlier, is that at this point in time, where are we historically? So we're at now the inauguration of the Mishkan, which is about a year after the Torah was given. And so what the Gemara is entertaining right now is that, you know, some of the halachas were not fully revealed until later, meaning, Maimon Har Sinai, we weren't given the Torah, right? That we were presented with the Aseret Dibros, fine, but in terms of the halachas, meaning Moshe learned all of Torah, Moshe taught all of Torah, and the writing of the Torah, the Gemara says elsewhere, was done over the course of their going through the Midbar. But this idea over here that some of the halachas were withheld until later, that part confuses me. Okay, but good. Okay, so I'm a little bit confused. So so my Talmudah. Anyway, so right now here's how the Gemara lays it out. Going into the Kosher Kedashim, being ill-equipped, so before Nadav and Avihu died, so the Torah tells us, don't do it. And then in terms of the Onesh, that was given to us after they died. Now the Gemara says, first of all, my Talmudah. Now how did you get there? That's the first question of the Gemara. So Amar Rav Amakra, Kiva Anan, Eira'eh, Va'adayin Lo Nira. So good, so it's based on the fact that the Torah says, it will be seen. So v'adayin lo nireh. So v'ela ma'itami yanish. The Gemara says fine. So now, if the onish was not given before they introduced the eish zara into the Mishkan, so then why did they die? So the Gemara says v'ela ma'itami yanish k'detanya. Rabbi Elazar amar lo meisu b'nei Aaron ela sho hora halacha b'fnei Rabbo. B'fnei Moshe Rabban. All right. So they were more halacha b'fnei Rabbo. They said over the halacha right in front of Moshe Rabbeinu. So my drush when Asnu Bnei Aaron a Kohen Eshalam Mizbech Hafapisha Aisha Redes Min Hashemayim Mitzvah Lahavi Min Hahedron. Now they said over a halacha that's correct, meaning that yes, there's a fire that's going to come down from heaven to burn the karbanos. That's true, but we also have to introduce fire ourselves, right? The fire's got to come from both directions. It's got to come from up above, and it's also got to come in with human effort as well. Good. That was the drasha. The drasha is wonderful, but they passed in front of Moshe Rabbeinu. That was insolent. You take a look at Tosos over here. Shor Halacha b'fnei Moshe Rabban b'toros Kohanim last Tosos b'toros Kohanim ika plukta de Tanai Tuva ma'itame iyanush. So this question is discussed extensively. Tosos over here says Toros Kohanim. They give a lot of reasons why it is. They give a lot of offerings. Ikamanda Amra Misinai Natlu, the East Amri Mimnesha Amru, Amasayimusishne Zakenim Halalu, the Aniva Ata, Nanhigas Ador, right? They were looking forward, anticipating for the death of Moshe and Aaron so they could become the leaders of a Perak Dalamisos, Nami, Maisila, the Ikamanda Amra Puri Rosh, Hayu, they weren't wearing head coverings. Ikaman da amr shisu yain hayu, they were inebriated. Ikaman da amr mechusrei begadim hayu, or they weren't wearing the proper begadim. This is one of those discussions where, another point of interest. The Torah actually couldn't be much clearer in terms of why they died. Torah says because they introduced Eish Zara. Now, what exactly that means, I'm not sure exactly what it means, right? Based on our Gemara over here, it seems to be Eish Zara just simply means that they didn't compound the Ketores properly. It could be. Whatever. The Torah tells us that they introduced an Eish Zara. And meanwhile, the Torah's Kohanim, the Gemara and Sanhedrin, Tosus quotes over here, so it gives a host of other reasons, right? What's wrong with the Torah's explanation? Granted, I don't fully understand the Torah's explanation, but what's wrong with the Torah's explanation? And why are all the Midrashim, right? The Torah's Kohanim and the Gemara and Sanhedrin, why are they going off script? Okay, so there's still a lot to wrap our heads around in terms of the death of the Bnei Aaron. Okay. Yatsavalo derech kenisa so. Okay. Now, Kohen Gadol has just deposited the Ketores on top of the shovel, and now what he's going to do is he's going to exit, and he's going to exit the same way he came in. I mean, that's kind of obvious. Meaning, there's only one way to come in. There's only one way to exit. But meaning to say that he's going to be walking backwards as he exits. So Menahan Emila, the Gemara wants to know what's the source for this. I'm Rabbi Shmuel Bar Nachmina. I'm Rabbi Yonasan. I'm a Krav Yavo Shlomo Levama Asher Begivon Yerushalayim. So and Shlomo goes to the Bama that is in Givon Yerushalayim. V'chima inyan Givon it's Yerushalayim. Givon Yerushalayim. Like, why are they in the same sentence? So Ella Mekish Yetziasomi Givon Yerushalayim LeBiasomi Yerushalayim LeGivon. So a hekish is created over here. The Yetzia from Givon to Yerushalayim to the entrance of from Yerushalayim to Givon. Ma Biasomi Yerushalayim LeGivon Panav Kape Bama. So when going from Givon towards, from Yerushalayim to Givon. So he was facing the Bama. So he's also going to be facing the Bama, even as he is leaving. So that means to say now that when you're walking away from the Kodesh HaKodashim, you should be facing the Kodesh HaKodashim, meaning you should be walking backwards. Carefully, obviously. Don't trip. But walk backwards. And v'chein kohanim ba'avodasam v'levi'im b'zuchnam v'yisrael b'ma'am adam k'shein niftarim. Another example where this is true is when the Kohen's doing the avoda, or the Levim are on their platform in order to sing, or when the Yisrael are doing the ma'amados in Masechta Tanis. We'll be discussing ma'amados extensively, but again, it's basically the I'm putting this in air quotes. It's the avoda of the Yisrael while the Kohanim are doing the actual avoda. So when they are departing, so they got to be walking backwards. And also, when the Talmud is leaving the Rebbe, so the Talmud should not be turning his back to his Rebbe. Walking away from the Rebbe, you should be facing the Rebbe when walking away. The Rebbe Lazar, the Gemara says, is going to give a couple of episodes of where we're going to see the Talmud and the way that he exits, he dismisses himself from the Rebbe. Rav Elazar Karava Miftar Minei de Rav Yochanan, when Rav Elazar would excuse himself from Rav Yochanan. So Karava by Rav Yochanan Lisiguye, when Rav Yochanan wanted to leave, Hava Gachin, Kai Rav Elazar Aduchte, Adahavi Mechse, Rav Yochanan Minei. And he would basically be walking backwards until he no longer saw Rav Yochanan. Vikarava by Rav Elazar Lisiguye, Kava Azal Achore Adimechse Minei de Rav Yochanan. And the same thing is true in the other direction as well. Okay, so in other words, so when they would leave one another, so they would make sure not to turn their back on one another. Rava akava mifter minei de Rav Yosef, when Rava would excuse himself from Rav Yosef. So hava azola achare. He would always walk backwards. Now, I quipped just a moment earlier, right? Don't trip. Okay, and right? To be cute, but really to foreshadow this Gemara over here. Meaning when Rava would leave Rav Yosef, so he would walk backwards. Ad de menagfan kare. He would bang his foot every time. Okay, now there comes a point in time where you should pretty much have learned the terrain. Okay, I'm not really following why it is that he repeated the injury. But anyway, he injured and re-injured himself. And the Gemara over here, umitvasan askofta de be Rav Yosef dama. Now, if you look at the threshold of Rav Yosef, And the one that Rava kept walking out backwards, kept wounding himself backwards as he was walking out backwards. So you're going to find blood on the threshold. Okay, that's a lot. That's a lot. But in other words, but again, just the idea that he was really careful about Kavod Rav, and he would always make sure to walk backwards. Okay, I'll add, and again, this is Rav and Rav Yosef, so I'm being very cautious over here. But I'll add, obviously, you got to take care of yourself. But in other words, but again, just to demonstrate the Kavod Rav. So Amar Leila Rav Yosef, so as we turn to the Amud Beis. So they say to Rav Yosef, Hachi Avad Rava. You know, I'm just telling you, by the way, this is what Rava does. And as Rashi fills in the details over here, Rav Yosef never saw this. Meaning Rav Yosef, of course, is blind. The Gemara tells us on numerous occasions that Rav Yosef was Saginaur, he was blind. So as Rava was dismissing himself from Rav Yosef never knew that he was given this kind of kavod. And you don't give the kavod just, you know, obviously. You don't give the kavod so that the recipient is now going to enjoy having received the kavod. You give the kavod because it's the right thing to do. So despite the fact that Rav Yosef didn't see it, but nevertheless, obviously, Rava is giving the kavod. And so they had to tell Rav Yosef, you know, this is what Rava did. So Amar Leh, Yehi Rava, did Tarim Reisheich Akule Karcha. And so Rav Yosef gives Rava bracha, and he says, you know what? My bracha to you is that you become a Rosh Yeshiva. All right, the amount that you give to cover the Torah, so as a midah keneged midah, so you should become a Rosh Yeshiva. Okay. Amar Rav Lachzandri, Amar Rav Yoshua ben Levi, Mesfal Tzarech Sheyafsi Shlosh Psios La'achal Rav. Ve'achar kach yitain shalom. So over here, as we're talking about excusing and dismissing yourself from the Kodesh HaKadoshim, from doing the Avoda, from your Rebbe, so now we get to do this every single day as we are excusing ourselves from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So we stand and we speak with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's called davening, specifically Shemoneh Esrei. And so we approach HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We take three steps forward and we approach HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And then the conclusion, when we get to the end of Shemoneh Esrei and we're dismissing ourselves from the Ribbono Shel Olam, so what we need to do is we need to take three steps backwards. Now, it's funny, the frequently asked question, why three steps? So to that frequently asked question, so right now the Gemara in Yuma, Daf and Gimel, otherwise known as today's Daf, so it tells us that you have to take three steps. The Gemara itself never says why three. Why specifically three? Meaning in the context of our Gemara, we certainly understand that this is a way of basically excusing ourselves from our conversation with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. That part's clear. But why specifically three? So the Mefarshim give a number of different explanations in terms of why specifically three, right? But the Gemara itself never explains. The Gemara says three, but then the Gemara never gives an explanation of why specifically three. So Tzarech Sheyafsi Shlosh Psios La'achal V'Achar Kich Yitein Shalom. So Amalei Rav Mordechai Kevin Shapasso Shlosh Psios La'achal Rav Hasam Ibaile Lameikam. So and after you take those three steps over there, don't be so quick to move away. Meaning that you're excusing yourself from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So don't take three steps back and then all of a sudden just like walk away as if nothing happened. Meaning you have to take three steps back and you have to stand there. Now, how long do you have to stand there? So if you're in the context of a minyan, so the Shulchan Aruch says that ideally one should stand there until Kedusha. Right? Right. The assumption is that you're finished with your Shemoneh Esrei before the Shliach Tzibur does, and you take your three steps back and you're bowing, or the bowing we'll get to in just a moment. And you should, ideally, you should be there until Kedusha. Sometimes that may be a long time, sometimes it's a short time. Depends on how fast your Shemoneh Esrei is, how fast the Sheikh Tzibur Shemoneh Esrei is. But anyway, but certainly what the Gemara says is a value, is it should take the three steps back and stand back there for a moment. Okay. Mashal Atamid, Hanifter Meirabo, Imchoz El Alto Doma Lekelvshe, Shav Al Keo. And the Gemara over here says, and the Gemara is making a strong statement in terms of how important it is that when you take the three steps back, right, don't be so quick to move forward. In fact, if you do, it's like a Talmud who excuses himself from his Rebbe. And then if he just simply walks right back, in other words, he has no reverence whatsoever. So it's like a dog that vomited and goes right back to his vomit. Right? It's really graphic and it's really strong. But the idea is, however, is that it's really a lack of respect if after taking the three steps back, you just walk, you walk forward, you walk away immediately. You have to stand back there for a moment. Tanya Nami Hachi, and we're not done with our strong statements. The Gemara continues with some more strong statements. The Gemara quotes a Braisa, Mesfal Tzarech Sheyafsi Shlosh Psios La'achal V'Achar Kach Yitein Shalom. So, you take three steps back and then you say Shalom. V'im lo asakim ro'i lo shelo yispalel. So here another strong statement, and that is that If you don't take the three steps back and you don't pause after having taken the three steps back, you'd say, you know what? Better that you shouldn't have davened. Okay. But over here though, right? This I understand pipshuto. In other words, very simply. Meaning if you don't take the three steps back and pause while after having taken the three steps back, so then it's ki'ilu, it's as if, right? You were just standing there. Meaning you didn't realize you were having a conversation with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. And the three steps back and the pausing after the three steps back really is an indication that you knew what you were doing. You were actually communicating with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. Okay. Umishum Shmaya Amru, Shino Sein Shalom Liyamin V'Archa Kach L'Smol. Shenamar Mimino Ishtas Lamo. V'Omer Yipol Mitzilcha Elof Urreva Mimenecha. Okay, now we get to the bowing. Okay, so you take the three steps back and you're going to say Oseh Shalom B'Mramav. And you're going to be bowing in three directions. So Yamin Smol, and then once to the center. So somebody who's steeped more in the esoteric can explain better, much better, why the right, why the left, why then to the center. But anyway, but over here the instructions of the Gemara are really clear. So to the right, to the left, and then to the center, or at least we think it's clear. And two psukim, by the way, that support this idea. Number one, Mimi no ish das lamo, and as Rashi points out over here, right, the right is preferred, simply. Also, the other pasuk in Tehillim, so, yipo mitzilcha elef urvava miminecha. 1,000 are going to fall on your left side, but 10,000 are going to fall on your right side. Right side stronger, right? The dominance of the right hand side, right? We seem to be focusing a lot on that here in Masechta Yuma. Good. So that's why you bow to the right first, right? So the Gemara says, no. You don't bow to the right first. We're not yet at that point. Okay, that's coming up in just a moment. So Maiva Omer, two psukim talking about the dominance of the right. Why two psukim? V'chitem orcha demelsuhu lemesav b'yamin tashma yipol mitzilcha elef rava miminecha. Okay, so I might have thought you're more habituated to the right. And that's why you're going to be bound to the right. So the Gemara says, no. It has to do with the fact that the right really is the more dominant side. Okay, so right now we think that we're going to take three steps back and we're going to be bound to the right first. That's what we think. So Rava Chazi L'Abai De'av Shlama Li'Yamina Bereisha. So Rava sees Abai in practice, right? Halach L'Maisa. And Abai now takes his three steps back and he starts bowing to the right first, right in front of Rava. And Amar Lay, so Rava corrects Abaye, and he says, "No, misfars liyamin diitcha, lesmol diitcha kaamina. Dav yamino shela kadosh baruch hu." No. In other words, when we say right left, we're talking about relative to Akadosh Baruch Hu, meaning you're face to face with Akadosh Baruch Hu. Right? Rashi quotes the pasuk, "Shivisa Hashem negdi samid." So you're face to face with Akadosh Baruch Hu. So now, when we say yamin small, we mean to his yamin and his small. So that means that from your perspective, it's going to be first to the left. And then to the right. Amar Rav Chia Bereder Rav Huna Chazina Lahu Labai Veravet Tepsiya Lahu Shalosh Psios Bikriya Achas. And one more halacha about genuflecting, and that is that when you take your three steps backwards, so you should be in a bowed position. So right, subdued submission. So that means to say that you take your three steps back, you should already be bowing while you're taking the three steps back, and then bow to the left, bow to the right, and then to the center. Again, in terms of all the deeper meaning behind the Gemara, so you need to get a better Rebbe. Okay, I apologize, but in terms of the basic instructions, so that the Gemara over here gives us the basic halacha. Okay, umispalo tefila ketzara beveis achitzon. Okay, then what you're going to do? I'm sorry, in the Kohen Gadol, what he's going to do is that he's going to be tefila ketzara. A very short tefillah while he's in the Beis HaChitzon. Beis HaChitzon over here just simply means the Heichal. You know, as we just got done saying, everything's relative. So he was just in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. So now he's going outside. Outside is the Heichal, right? Most Kohanim don't go into the Heichal ever, right? You go into the Heichal once if you're doing the Ketaris, you know, for the once in a lifetime opportunity. So while he's in the Heichal, so he's going to say a tefillah Ketzara. So my Matzleh. So the Gemara says, okay, can we get some inside information? What exactly is going to be the tefillah Ketzara? So my matzli. So Rava b'Rava de v'Rava b'Rava ade tarvai mishmei de Rav Amrei. So the Gemara over here gives us nusach. Now a little bit unclear. Meaning, first of all, these are Amoraim giving us nusach that haven't been said for hundreds of years. Meaning, they're living already now third, fourth, fifth century, right? And they're telling us the nusach of the Kohen Gadol. So and over here, I mean, there have to be a nusach. It could just simply be Kohen Gadol gave a personal petition. But the Gemara's assumption over here is that there was some standardized nusach. So here at Soma Fanecha Shem Lokenish Tei Shanazu Gishuma Ushechuna. So it should be really rainy and should be really hot. They're praying for a hot summer, right? Like us here in South Florida, right? Okay. So Shechuna Mal Yusehi, and the Gemara asked basically the question that I just asked. Really? That's what we want. We want hot weather. So Elaim Aim Shechuna Tei Gishuma. So the Gemara says no. If it's really hot, so then please do me a favor, add some rain. Okay, down here it just happens to be that the rain doesn't do anything to the heat. In fact, over here, just enhances it. But if it's really hot and it's rainy, so it helps temper the heat. Rav Acha bar Derava Misayim ba Mishmei Derav Yehuda, and now other additional tefilos that were said. So Lo Yeidi Avid Shultan Midebeis Yehuda, right? The scepter, the monarchy, shouldn't leave the Beis Yehuda. And we shouldn't need each other so much, meaning we shouldn't be so interdependent, right, or intradependent, meaning that basically the economy should run smoothly. And you know, the people that are traveling, so they're going to be davening for no rain. The Kohen Gadol says to Akash Baruch Hu, in this very short tefillah, do me a favor, pay them no mind, right? Ignore them. In other words, they don't want it to rain because it's inconvenient. But meanwhile, we need rain, so ignore them. Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa ava ka'aza ba'orcha. The Gemara tells the story of Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa. He was traveling, shada mitra aleha. And it started raining. Amar ribono sholom kol olam kula benachas v'chanina b'tza'ar. And so he turns to Akash Baruch Hu and basically says, do me a favor, could you turn the faucet off? Right. Right now, I know the world is happy, but right now, I'm trying to travel. So, just for a moment, right? So could you turn it off? So, Pasuk Mitra. Now, Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa, and the Gemara is going to make this comment, right? I'm just foreshadowing. Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa has this kind of temperature control, weather control. And ki asa levese. Now, when he gets home, Amar Ribono Shel Olam Kol Olam Kula Betzar VeChanina Benachas. And so now, when he gets home and he's under the comfort of his own roof, so at that point in time, he says, "You know what? I'm pretty comfortable now. The rest of the world is not. Could you turn the faucet back on?" Asa Mitra, it starts raining. Amar Rav Yosef, my Ahanya Leitzlusa De Kohen Gadol Legabe Chanina Ben Dosa. So Rav Yosef now just makes a comment and says, "Look, side by side comparison, Rabbi Chanina Ben Dosa and the Kohen Gadol." Kohen Gadol in the Heichal is pleading with the Kadosh Baruch Hu, please don't listen to the Ovrei Drachim as they are davening for not to rain. And meanwhile, Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa just, you know, casually is able to turn the faucets off and on. Okay? Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa had powerful tefillahs, to say the least. Tana Rabbanan Maisa beKohen Gadol Echad She'arich b'tefillaso. The Gemara now tells the following story, where there was a Kohen Gadol, and he went a little bit long in his tefillah. Now again, the Mishnah cautions, don't do it, and this Kohen Gadol did it. And so now, they had to get some brave Kohanim to go in, and to try to retrieve him. Right? And I'm gonna add, for fearing that he was no longer alive. So finally, after a couple of brave Kohanim volunteered to go in, and they're ready to go in, he comes out. So Amar lo mimnei hamaharachla b'tfilasecha, and so they really gave it to him, right? That was a long davening, unnecessary. Amar lehem kasha beinechem lasos kein sharei shanina lo. Sorry, I skipped a line. Amar lehem kasha beinechem sheitzpalalti alechem ve'al beis hamikdash shelo yicharav. So he says, really, it bothers you that I was davening and I asked that the beis hamikdash not be destroyed. Amar lo al tihi regil lasos kein. So they said back to him, no, don't do that. Don't get used to the, don't get into the habit. The Mishnah's instructions could not be any clearer, right? You should not prolong in your tefillah. So because all you're going to do is just scare people. Because again, the concern that the Kohen Gadol is going to die in the Kodesh Kodashim was a real concern. And if I had to guess, it happened with some regularity. So the idea that he delayed in there, all you're going to do is you're just going to scare the people. Okay, we're going to stop over here. The Mishnah takes us to the actual Hazazin that's done in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Starts a brand new topic. So tomorrow we open up with the Mishnah. Let's quickly recap. Let's review our daf today. The first part we discussed is the Kohen Gadol now laying the Ketores on top of the coals in order to create the smoke. So first of all, the technicalities of where is he laying the ashes, starting at the point close to him, further away from him. Abaye says conclusively that it should be the part, he should start with the point furthest away from him and bring his hands in for the simple and pragmatic reason that he does not burn his hands. Number two, second big discussion today is that where do we create the cloud of smoke? Where do we burn the Ketores? Only after we go into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Stukim, they didn't abide by that. Stukim, they thought that the pasuk meant that you should burn the Ketores outside and bring the burning Ketores inside. Okay, and they had a way to look at the pasukim, but we have the Mesorah, we don't agree. In terms of how to darshan the pasukim, so that was a lot of the Amud Aleph. The Mala Ashan, the particular herb that had a root and had a leaf, that was added to the Ketores in order to create that straight pillar of smoke going up. So that was expounded upon not once but twice in the Torah. Why does the Torah repeat this requirement of adding the Mala Ashan? So that the Gemara gave no less than five different answers in terms of why the repetition. The fifth answer is that one was for the Onish and one was for the Azhara. One just simply to lay down that Mala Ashan must be added. And the second one is that if you don't, so then that is a Chisaron in the Ketores, and therefore you're going to be Chayv Misa B'Dei Shemayim. Now, in terms of the Azhar and the Onesh, so that straddled the death of Nadav Avihu. Right, next part of today's daf. Nadav and Avihu who introduced Eish Zara. So the Azhara was given before their death. The Onesh was given after their death. It was introduced to Bnei Yisrael after they died. Okay, as I mentioned earlier, I really struggled to understand how that works. Right, how parts of the Torah were not given until later in time. But anyway. But that's the Gemara feels that the Pesukim really speak to this idea. If that's true, why did Nadav and Avihu die? So our Gemara gives us the reason. There were more halacha b'fnei Rabbo, and Tosfos, as we saw today, gave a complement of other reasons why it is that they died. You got to walk out backwards. And so the Gemara spent a lot of time today talking about walking out backwards, the sourcing of walking out backwards. But Gemara quoted a pasuk in Divrei Hayamim. The Gemara notes that when the Kohanim are doing Avoda, when you're leaving your Rebbe, you have to walk out. You have to walk out, not turning your back. Turning your back is disrespectful, so you have to walk out backwards to the point of injury. Oddly enough, yes, Rava, whenever he would leave Rav Yosef, he would always walk out backwards. He would stub the same foot every time he would do so. You can even find some blood on the threshold. The Gemara says, yeah, but that's a sign of respect. And they told Rav Yosef gave Rav Bracha. Okay. Not only do you have to excuse yourself walking backwards in all these circumstances, but even when you're davening Shemona Esrei. So you gotta excuse yourself by walking backwards. Finish your Shemona Esrei, you take three steps backwards. And then in today's daf, Yuma Nun Gimel, so we talked about the various genuflecting that you need to do upon the conclusion. First of all, the Gemara says that when you take your three steps back, you should already be in a bowed position. And then you should be bowing. Now, the first way the Gemara presented is right and to the left. But as Rava corrected Abaye, when we say right-left, we mean relative to the Shechina, which means that it is, from your perspective, first to your left, then to your right, and then to the center. Although, admittedly, the Gemara didn't mention the center. Finally, the last thing that we covered today was the Kohen Gadol and the tefillah that he gave in the Heichal before exiting the Heichal. And so what was the Nusach HaTefillah? So basically, it was for good weather over the course of the year. If you're right, just as an oversimplification of the Gemara. Once upon a time, a Kohen Gadol really delayed, really went long in his tefillah, and they let him have it. They said, no, you shouldn't do that. People were really scared that the Kohen Gadol was going to die. Adkan.